not a lot of people are excited about Mondays, but the one thing that Monday, first day of the work week, always brings is a Mike Grimm Monday. The voice of Gopher Sports, sports director at the Minnesota News Network. Do we get ourselves a lot to cover today? It's kind of a busy Minnesota sports weekend. And Mike, hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, doing well, thank you. Yeah, Mondays are Mondays, there's no doubt. You're kind of throwing some pressure on me, though, to try to uplift everybody here.
I don't even know where to start, because we got NCAA tournament basketball. We got the Vikings signing Captain Kirk to an extension. We got the Twins, all of a sudden, wheelers and dealers, as baseball went from pretty much being in a dead stop to now, you know, we're rolling. We got spring training baseball. We got regular season. Let's start with the basketball. Iowa yesterday won the Big Ten Conference Championship. I believe they were the number 5 seed, and they beat Purdue in the final. Any surprise to you that Iowa won the Big Ten Conference? Were they that good this year, or were they kind of up and down?
They were good. They were my pick, actually, to win it when we went to Indianapolis last week. Spencer and I talked about that a little bit, and I just like the way they were playing, and they've kind of found themselves, and the guys have their roles. And to me, the biggest thing about them right now is if they get the proper rotation and stay out of foul trouble, when they have the two Murray twins on the floor, along with Jason was his brother who played at Wisconsin, but Jordan Bohannon, and then Tony Perkins for them has really gotten just immensely better in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And then either one of the McCaffrey brothers, when that group's out there, I think there's just about as good as anybody, because you got Murray, who's the one Murray twin who's a lottery pick. The other Murray twin at times plays like one and maybe one next year. And then you got some veteran guys that can shoot, and that's a good recipe, I think, for tournament basketball. And they've defended probably the best defensive team he's had. So I was not surprised in any way. I thought that they were playing well, and they were my pick based on the bracket as well. I thought that they got a little help when Illinois got upset by Indiana. And then, they cruised their way into that championship game. Obviously, it was a tight one in the semis with Indiana. And then I thought they kept Purdue pretty much at an arm's length yesterday.
Now, Mike, talking about the Big Ten, and for those that are filling out their bracket today or sometime before the tournament kicks off, tell me why I should put, what's the word I'm looking for, faith in the Big Ten Conference. Now, they have 9 teams in the tournament, and I know last year I went very heavy with the Big Ten, and I kind of got burnt. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I don't think the Big Ten had a good postseason. For those that are looking at their bracket and going, you know what, maybe I should support teams from the Gophers Conference, like Wisconsin and Purdue and Iowa and the other 6 that are in the bracket, tell us why you think the Big Ten is going to do good at the NCAA tournament.
Well, I don't know. Nobody knows, right? I like you, had the Big Ten having a great tournament last year, because last year what they had that they don't have this year, but what they had last year was not only do they have the volume, so they had a bunch of teams in, a lot of those teams had really favorable seeds, meaning, you know, it's one thing to get 9 in, and I know a lot was made of that, but let's face it, you know, 5 of those 9 or 4 of those 9 anyway, are in, you know, horrible situations where 2 of them are in play-in games, right?
Yep.
I think Indiana and Rutgers both in
Correct. A play-in game,
I think. So you know, that means those two teams probably aren't going to go very far, usually. You never know. But so 9 is a little deceiving in the sense of like, oh, they better make noise with 9. Well, 2 of them are there. And then Michigan, actually, I thought Michigan got a pretty good draw. They're going to be in Indianapolis, which will give, you know, there'll be some Michigan fans that travel. And, you know, I thought they got a favorable first-round matchup, given their seeding. Not necessarily, you know, where they're, you know, in terms of, I thought the seed was fair as well, but I thought they also have some favorable matchups. So maybe they'll advance out. But I, like you, last year they had a bunch ones, and or I think it was 2s and 3 seeds, and none of them cashed in. This year they have, you know, a couple of, what do they have, a 3 seed, a 4 seed, a 5 seed, and then a bunch of everybody else that's going to have to scramble to get it. So I think there's 3 teams in play right now for the Big Ten to try to get out to the Final Four. And you know, they haven't won a national title since Michigan State won it in 2000 or 2001. I forget which year it was. I think it was 2001 with the Flintstones. But they've had a boatload of Final Four teams over that time. I think they're second in terms of total Final Four teams, but they just haven't been able to break through. Michigan State, of course, has been to the Final Four a bunch. Ohio State's played in a couple of national title games, you know, in the last 20 years, but couldn't win either. And so they've had, you know, Michigan State played in a championship game twice, I think, now, and they haven't been able. Michigan's played in two championship games and lost them both under John Beilein. So they've had their chances. They just haven't cashed in to cut the nets down. I think there are three teams in play. Purdue's a 3 seed. Illinois is a 4 seed, and Iowa is a 5 seed. And I think Iowa actually got underseeded. It was, you know, and because of the lateness of that game, that's not just a quad one win. That's one of the better wins that any team will have. You know, you beat the number 11 team in terms of the quad rankings, and they didn't really get credit for that because if they had, I think they'd been better than the 20th overall seed. That said, I think their path is fairly favorable for a 5 seed. Usually that 12-5 game's a real dangerous one for the 5 seed because you get either a high major that's gotten hot and barely gotten in, or somebody from a major conference that's like 27 and or from a minor conference that's like 27-3 that just isn't used to losing. But in this case, I was surprised they gave Iowa Richmond, which was a team that wouldn't have made the field at all had it not beaten Davidson yesterday in the Atlantic 10. So usually when that's a team like that, they're getting a play-in game. So somebody must have liked Richmond for some reason. I think that's a very favorable draw for Iowa. Richmond does have that weird kind of defense that they play, but I think those three teams are in play for the Big Ten. I had the Big Ten going out a ways. I think if I remember right, I even might have had Illinois winning it all in my bracket last year, and they got bounced in round two. So my answer is most people are now saying the Big Ten's no good. Most people are saying the Big Ten won't have much happen, and usually when that happens, just the opposite goes. So that's my reasoning for why the Big Ten might make some noise and get some teams out to the Final Four. One, I think they have three teams that are capable of it, certainly have the talent for it, and two, about the time everyone gives up on something is usually the time it happens. So that's there you go. Those are my two reasons.
So when Mike Grimm is saying, go heavy with the Big Ten in your bracket because they are the underdogs this year. Yeah, I had Illinois last year winning the whole thing. Like you said, they went down in the round of 32. Have you filled out a bracket yet? Have you picked your Final Four teams?
I have not. I probably will do that this afternoon. And I shouldn't leave out Wisconsin. That was not intentional. I said three teams in play. I don't think Wisconsin, frankly, is a Final Four caliber team, but they're playing in Milwaukee. And so they get a big benefit of home court edge in the first two rounds, which gets them to the Sweet 16. And then, frankly, as we all know, once you get to the Sweet 16, depending on the draw and a little luck, you know, you're two bounces away from being in the Final Four. So I think you have to include them in that mix. So I said three teams. It's really four because they had 2 3-seeds. Imagine me forgetting about Wisconsin, right? But I sure did. So I think you got to throw them in as a viable option as well. So four of the nine, I think, have an opportunity if the ball bounces their way to certainly get into the second weekend. And then if the ball really bounces their way, and sometimes you need a lucky bounce, like I mentioned, Iowa didn't have to face Illinois, the 1 seed in that Big Ten tournament. Well, you know, Purdue, maybe they don't have to – maybe somebody bounces Kentucky or somebody bounces Kansas, and Iowa doesn't have to face Kansas or Purdue doesn't have to face Kentucky, you know. There's certainly those opportunities out there if the ball bounces your way.
Mike left out Wisconsin on purpose. I'm sorry.
I wish I could leave him out altogether, yes.
Mike Grimm, Monday here on KATE, joins us every Monday. And let's turn our attention to baseball. And obviously, baseball's now going hot and heavy with them. Finally ending the lockout. We got spring training baseball, I think, coming up this week. The Twins will open up the 7th, I think, of April. And the biggest news over the weekend for Twins fans is the Twins are making trades. They pick up Sonny Gray from, I forget, who is Sonny Gray even with?
The Reds.
With the Reds,
yeah,
okay.
Cincinnati, yeah.
So they send a prospect, a very good prospect, that direction. They get rid of Josh Donaldson's contract, which when you look at this Yankees trade, Mike, I'm assuming that's the big piece of it. I don't know much about, you know, Gary Sanchez, the catcher. They got an infielder as well. I don't know much about the players coming back. But that seems like the bottom line is they got rid of Josh Donaldson to free up some money that Twins fans are hoping they will use to go spend someplace else.
I don't think there's any doubt, because I don't think the two moves make sense coupled together. There has to be an ensuing move, right? I don't think you give up your number one draft pick from last year. Now, first of all, I want to get a bona fide guy over a prospect almost every time if it's an even up trade, because there's no guarantee. Plus, this guy, Chase Petty, is the guy. Look, he's throwing 100 miles an hour, which is great, but he's 18 years old. In fact, I think he might be 17 years old, right? He's just a high schooler. When I say that, I mean he's not a guy that's gone through the rigors of college or what have you. So, the chances, and we've seen that a lot, where, the high school kid gets drafted, the chances that he goes on to be an all-star pitcher, frankly, the chances, of high school pitchers just eventually making the major league roster, frankly, aren't that great. But now, look, he may end up winning 5 Cy Youngs, and the Twins will forever have their David Ortiz on the mound now, right?
Correct.
But I think you do this. That said, Sonny Gray is good. I don't think he's a Cy Young candidate. I don't think he's I wouldn't consider him. I wouldn't consider him an ace. He may be the ace of this twin staff, but that may be what you have to go with. He's had some good years. He's had some mediocre years. He's a workhorse. That's good. We'll see where he goes and how he does for this team. But I don't think you give up your prospect, your number one draft pick, for a 32-year-old starting pitcher who's going to make $10 million this year and $12 million next year. So relatively inexpensive in relative terms for a one or a two in your staff. If you're thinking that you want to shed payroll and totally rebuild, right? A total rebuild would not entice anyone to go get a 32-year-old starting pitcher. So it seems to me that we're trying to upgrade the roster to one win now, and also maybe look to the future. The one benefit of Gray is that he is under 2 years of team control. And then you turn around and shed all this payroll. To me, that has to set up then and probably weaken yourself a little bit with the players you gave up compared to what you got back. Probably the Yankees got the better end of that from a talent perspective. But if you free up enough payroll to go out and sign some guys, it can be immediate impact guys, maybe another pitcher, although there aren't many big-name guys out there, right, in terms of free agency. There are some shortstops out there, and this team now needs a shortstop. They traded Garver for a shortstop and then traded the shortstop to the Yankees as part of this deal to shed the payroll. So maybe they go get a shortstop. Don't need a real long-term shortstop, because I think they hope that, they have Royce Lewis in the system, who's coming off that injury, that, in a year or two he can be that guy. So who knows where they're headed, but it at a minimum, it's funny because people say, well, the Twins never do anything. Well, then they do something, and people still complain that they that they did it. So we'll see how it all pays out and pans out. But I like the fact that they're trying to do something. They have to, as Mark Coyle says, sometimes you have to just shake the tree, and
Absolutely.
See what falls out. So that's what they're doing right now.
And I'm glad you brought up a Mitch Garver, because his name has kind of got lost over this weekend with the other two trades. Garver was kind of a fan favorite. I guess that surprised me that they moved him.
Yeah, and I think they feel really good about the other catcher, Ryan Jeffers. I'm probably less high on Jeffers as many, and we'll see where that all pans out. But Garver is a little like Gary Sanchez in the sense of the guy that they got from the Yankees. I was looking it up today. Sanchez is a catcher. He might DH some too. And he's a guy that he either hits a home run or he strikes out. Like legitimately about half of his hits over the last, it's not quite half, but I'm going to say 40% of his hits are home runs. Problem is he doesn't have a lot of hits.
Okay.
He hit under 200 2 years ago, and he hit like 204 last year. So, he came off that year where, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, he had 30-plus homers, and from the catcher spot, that's huge. I'm talking about Sanchez now. Garver was a little bit that way. He was kind of a feast or famine guy. He could hit the ball a long ways. He went through a horrific slump to start the season last year and then kind of got back into form that we saw the previous year. So, and he was a fan favorite, no doubt. So I guess when you look at it, they gave up Garver. They gave up Donaldson. To get those guys back from New York, because the shortstop they got for Garver ended up going to New York for that. So it's almost like you don't even count him, in what they gave up, because it was really Garver there. And so we'll see where it goes. I'm going to tip my cap for the moment just that they're trying. They're trying to do something, and hold my breath that they go sign you know, a shortstop or somebody, and I'm sure there's still some deals to be made here. They've got some assets yet that they can, you know, if they want to trade, they can, you know, try to reformulate this roster even more if they find the right taker.
Now, Mike, I saw on Twitter someone posted, if you're not a fan of Miguel Sano, wait to get a chance to see Sanchez, because they're kind of the same kind of, like you said, feaster or famine hitters, home runs or strikeouts. Mike Grimm, Monday here on KETE. And, Mike, before we let you go, we just got to get your comments on a Kirk Cousins. The thoughts of picking up a free agent quarterback or making a trade. I think Deshaun Watson for at least a couple hours was tied to possibly the Vikings over the weekend. They're sticking with their guy. Cousins is the guy for this year and next year. Do you like that they picked up his contract? Because they kind of had two options that they either had to, I shouldn't say pick up, but they had to extend the contract or trade him, and they took the option to extend.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm not as, you know this, over the course of me being on with you, I'm not as anti-Kirk Cousins as a lot of the fan base seems to think. Like, just on the sheer numbers, he is certainly, you know, one of the top 10 or 12 quarterbacks in the league. And people will say, well, why are they, you know, he's getting paid like a 1 or a 2, and now I think it's like a 4 or a 5. But even so, that's the going rate, you know, that's the going rate for a quarterback. I still, and I don't know enough about it. Obviously, they were in some salary cap problems, and so that's part of why they probably had to give him the extension so that they could stretch some stuff out over 2 years. And I think they have some funny money in there where there's some voidable years in addition to this contract where they could keep him or they could void it. And you know, the big thing is I think they're saving about $15 million in cap space this coming season, which they certainly needed. And we'll see where it goes. Otherwise, I didn't see a real need to decide either way, quite honestly. Like, people were worked up in a frenzy. Like, what if he plays really well next year? And I'm like, well, that'd be great. Probably means that they're going to win some games. But then you could lose him and not get anything for him. I'm like, yeah, okay, no problem. Or you could re-sign him, make him an offer, outbid somebody else, or maybe he plays horribly and you just get through year one and then start your rebuild. Like, I didn't think there was the sense of urgency a lot of people got, but you know, I'm not quite as proactive in that regard as others, like that you have to make moves. So I'm in the middle of the road on Cousins anyway, as you know. I would have been fine if they traded. Yep. You know, I think they have to worry about some other pieces of the team, and that's certainly why they redid this, so that they could take care of those and free up some cap space.
Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network Sports Director, the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics here on a Monday like always. And Mike and I are in a position where if we retired and then tried to come back in 3 months, our job would not be there. We got to mention Tom Brady coming back, because I guess you can do that in the NFL. I guess you can retire, and if they don't fill your shoes, you come back.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. That was something. A buddy of mine texted me the link, and I'm like, is that real, or did somebody make a fake Tom Brady tweet? And I looked. He had the blue mark. I'm like, holy cow, he's coming back. So leave it to Tom Brady to trump Selection Sunday, right?
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, it came out, what, like 2 minutes? Like, as the brackets were coming out, I think it was coming out that he was coming back. So good for him. He'll be the oldest guy to ever start a game, right, in the NFL when he makes his first start this year at 45 years old. So
that's crazy.
It's crazy. I was joking, and it's not my joke. I mean, everyone has kind of used it, but it's probably one of two things. One, he, after 3 months being around his wife and kids, said, gosh, it's nice having some free time away. I think I'm going to go back. Or his wife and kids said, Dad, enough worrying about us and yelling at us. Why don't you go back and play football? So it was probably a combo of those things.
I jokingly said to my wife this morning, it was option number one. He got home. Yeah. He wasn't used to being around his wife so often, his kids so often. He said, you know what? Maybe I'll put retirement on the back burner for now.
Well, and you know, it's funny, as you get older, like when I first started with the Gophers, as you know, there's some travel involved, and my wife's like, oh, you got to leave again. Well, now 16 years later, she's like, when is your next road trip? Like, aren't you leaving soon? I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving next Wednesday. And she's like, okay, good. I was trying to remember when I had, you know, some freedom. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Our good friend Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday. Mike, have a great week. And next week we'll be talking about, we'll be down to a 16 teams already in the NCAA tournament. So I look forward to our conversation next Monday. Thank you.
Sounds good. Yep, look forward to it. Thank you.